Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
The cash bail system that North Carolina uses to make sure people accused of crime show up for their days in court is increasingly fraught with serious problems. In an ongoing investigation, NC Policy Watch reporter Joe Killian has demonstrated that the system is an inefficient patchwork rife with corruption. To make matters even worse, in many places, the bail system preys upon low-income people who often must choose between staying in jail for months to await trial or dealing with a corrupt bail agent. Happily, as Killian has also reported, there are some promising reform models. I sat down earlier this week with Joe to discuss his reporting on this important and sometimes maddening issue. Well, Joe, Killian, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You've been writing an extensive series of articles on ncpolicywatch.com about North Carolina's cash bail system recently, and I think the main premise, it would be safe to say, is that the system's broken. You know, we've got corruption, we've got problems for poor people. Tell us a little bit about what's sort of been some of the key themes of the series.
Yeah, you know, this is like particularly embarrassing for me because for years I was a cop and courts reporter. And like so many people, I mean, I've talked to judges who have now said this, I just didn't see the problem. The fact that people in America are presumed innocent until proven guilty is something we all take for granted. But what we don't see is that many people are going to end up in jail until their court date. They're not going to be at home awaiting that court date because they cannot afford to get out of jail because bail has been set that is either too high for them to pay or not enough for a bail bondsman to be interested in. A bail bondsman will take a percentage, 10-15%. Of what you'd actually pay to get out in order to bail you out. And, you know, if your bond is low enough, they're not going to be interested and you're going to be sitting there.
So we should say if someone is put in jail and the bond or the bail is $10,000,
right,
you don't actually have to put up all. We'll talk to about how
works. Yeah, that's how the for-profit bail industry works, is the bail bondsman will guarantee the court that they will get that money if you don't show up. And you will pay them a percentage of that in order to get that guarantee.
Right.
Some of the most persistent problems that we've seen doing some research is that, you know, people who are very poor end up entering into these agreements that end up kind of like payday loans, mm-hmm, make payments on it. But if
on
you
that share of the bond that
let's say it's $500
charging you, yeah.
But a lot of people don't have $500.
Right.
You know, they're living paycheck to paycheck. So, you know, you're paying maybe $100 until you pay this off, or $50, you know, a month or every 2 weeks, and you miss a payment, they keep all your money and they send you back to jail.
Right.
These poor people just end up in this terrible situation whereby, you know, whether or not they have committed this crime, they are subject either to being in jail and therefore perhaps losing a job or losing their kids if they don't have anybody to take care of their kids, if they're a single parent home. And people who may have done the crime might have the money to just bail themselves out or pay a bondsman. And so what judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys are saying to me in these stories is this is an essential inequality that is built into the system that was not intended.
You touched on this, but I want to emphasize this point. There's this sort of pernicious aspect of it that people whose bond is set too low for a bond agent to really even want to feel like he or she could make some money off of
right.
it, but they still don't have enough to get out of jail. So they literally, because their bond is too low, they can't pay it, and so they're stuck in jail for maybe even months.
Oh, absolutely.
Waiting trial.
I've had several public defenders, active public defenders, say to me, I have been in the unfortunate situation of going to a judge and saying, would you please raise the bail? Because I need it to be high enough that a bondsman thinks he can make some money off of it, bond agent can make some money off of it.
So lots of people have called for reform, obviously. You've alluded to the fact we have former judges, defense lawyers, independent experts. Tell us a little bit maybe about what they have in mind. How can we fix this?
Well, you know, the crazy thing about it is there is already a system that is working in North Carolina to get away from this cash bond situation. It's called pretrial or pretrial services, and it exists in all the major cities in North Carolina, the biggest counties. Wake County's got it. Durham has got it. Mecklenburg has got an excellent one. It's kind of the gold standard. It's one concept,
right,
which is that you will come to the court, and this pretrial services organization, which is usually a nonprofit or even a part of the government, will look at your case, see if you are a flight risk or if you are likely to run and not show up for your court date. And then if you don't seem like you're a flight risk, you don't seem like you're a danger to society, they'll say to the judge, release them into our care. And we will make sure they get there. We'll update them. If they have a drug problem, maybe we'll get them some treatment. If they, you know, are having employment problems, you know, perhaps we can work with them on that.
We'll send them a text saying, hey, remember to show up at this time for your
text, a phone call, an email. Yeah, things to make sure that some of these folks, especially very poor people, one of the greatest things that a public defender said to me about this is you have to remember, it's not like these people have Apple Watches that are going off to remind them.
Right.
Some of these people, you know, barely have physical addresses.
Right.
And so, you know, making sure that system, making sure that they get to court is leading to higher percentages of people actually getting to court. It's leading to lower percentages of people committing crimes while they're out on bail or having further troubles when they're in jail and getting further into debt or, you know, behind on rent. And I've spoken to the people who run this in Durham, in Mecklenburg County, in Guilford County, and, you know, they're having success. The problem is, there's a big blockade to it there being a statewide reform, and that is that the for-profit bail bond industry has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to state lawmakers, some of whom are bail bondsmen themselves,
former
bail bondsmen, and some of the people who are now lobbying for the bail bond industry are former lawmakers who are buddies with these folks, and they have passed just a staggering, and they brag about it, staggering number of laws that expand the opportunity for the bail bond industry and keep that system of pretrial from expanding in ways that it has in other states. In Kentucky, they've basically done away with cash bail. In New Jersey, of all places, that you don't think of as, you know, seeing huge reforms in an area like this, they have had gigantic reforms that the whole nation is looking toward.
You've mentioned also that the military actually also doesn't have the bail system.
Yeah, one of the folks who's a Guilford County public defender said in one of my stories, said to me, well, you know, I started off as a JAG officer in the military, and the military doesn't have this system. They look at you, they decide, are you a flight risk? Are you dangerous? Are you not? And they either keep you in jail or they let you go. And there's no money bail system. And so if we can do that for the entire military, why in the world can't we do this for civilians who are, you know, looking at stuff like DWIs?
Right.
That same public defender in Guilford County told me this terrible story where right at the moment I was talking to him, they had two cases in Guilford County. One of them was a guy got drunk, was in a convenience store, knocked over a display. You know, he's drunk in public. He's knocking over a display. They come, they take him away. He cannot afford the bail, I think it was like $1,000 or something, to get out of jail. So he's in jail until his date. Another case was a guy was accused of driving by and shooting into a convenience store, was charged with attempted murder. He bailed himself right out, had the money gone. That proves that this system is not doing what it's supposed to do, which is protect the public and ensure that everybody gets equal treatment in terms of being presumed innocent.
The bail industry obviously probably has some explanation for why things ought to stay like they should. They would allege that there are some bad actors in the industry. And it's true, probably, that there are more legitimate bail agents. But
yeah, one of the more interesting stories that I've done during this, actually, was I had bail agents contact me after I started writing these stories and say, you know what, you're absolutely right. Some of these people are terrible. They're felons. They're fraudsters. We also want to get that out of our industry, and we're working on it from our end as well. But the way that the state statute is set up, judges can ask for cash bail, and if they can, then people have got to have access to getting out for money bond. And if that is the case, then we are part of the justice system. We should be doing it better. So there is this argument about whether or not that can work. Can you reform this system? Or is it essentially a situation of inequality because some people are always going to have the money to get out and some people are not.
Not to mention that some judges, because of the politics of being elected as a judge, feel pressure to put high bail on certain high profile folks who are accused of crime.
Oh, absolutely. And they don't even have to be high profile. I mean, I had a former judge say to me, former judges are always willing to talk a little more about this stuff than people who are actively on the bench, say to me, I was part of the problem in my career. I felt that pang of, okay, this person doesn't seem like they're dangerous, but what if this is the one where I go, this guy's not dangerous, and then he gets out, knocks over a liquor store, shoots somebody. Not only is that a problem for me politically, I'm an elected judge, but also I got to live with that. Right. Yeah, there's that playing on it too. And when you have a system like they have in Mecklenburg County, which is scientific, where they assign a point value to certain things based on, you know, past experiences and whether somebody is employed, whether their life is stable, whether this is their first offense, whether they have violent offenses. And then that number value tells you whether they're going to be eligible for low bail, no bail, things like that. And then you work with the courts to do that. That has been found to be at a national level much, much more effective than this cash bail system.
People should check out Joe's stories at ncpolicywatch.com. They can email him at joe@ncpolicywatch.com if they've got any stories about this issue that they want to share. And
yeah, absolutely. I've been talking to people since I started writing it, and I'm looking for people's personal stories of their experience in the bail industry, too. So I'd love to hear from people.
Thanks, Joe. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out on the web and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, I'm Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.